know that some of you are wondering what I'm waiting for. But if you're waiting on me to stop you, you're going to wait a long time. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord, whom the Lord has delivered with a mighty hand, they ought to say so. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise, yes, sir. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I could use a little help trying to get this praise over. I can use a little help to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. Help me, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
You can't tell it, let me tell it. And don't try to stop me while I'm telling it. I know the Lord's been good to you. I said, I know the Lord has been good to you. You just ought to let him know you're thankful. You don't do nothing but wave your hand. You ought to tell him, God, this is my wave of thankfulness. I don't shout like some folk. I don't run like some folk, but I can show away mine. And just tell him, thank you. You know there is the wave offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God our Father, we are very thankful. You've been mighty good to us. And you brought us from a mighty long way. And now, Lord, we've entered again into your courts, entered into the sacred place. We're in the presence of our God. Lord, we were so glad when they said we could. Father, right now in this moment, there's no place that we'd rather be. Just want to sit at your feet, hear every word that you're saying to the church. Our simple request is, Lord, that you would speak to us. God, in the book of Acts, it said, and every man heard and understood in his own language. So God, speak to us and let us hear and understand in our own language. Some of us are spiritually astute enough to hear in one language, and some of us are spiritual infants and we hear in even another language. But would you speak to us? We'll hear and understand in this moment. It is the moment that we have. We have not another. We have right now. Lord, we've come from wherever we've come from trying to get where you told us you would go. You'll just usher us along the way, grab us by our little hands and show us the way you would have us to go. David said, you lead us in the green pastures and take us by still waters. Just grab us by little hands. Lord, show us the way you would have us to go. And when our little feet get tired and we stumble, you have our permission and our desire. Pick us up. Carry us a little further. God, don't let us fall by the wayside as some have done. Don't leave us alone as some have chosen. You are the company we want to keep. Promise to never leave us, never to forsake us, and we are so glad about that. Folk have come in and out of our lives and left us wounded and bruised, but Lord, you said you weren't going to go nowhere. And of all the promises, Lord, we count on that. We'll never be alone again. You're the company we keep. So God, again, open our eyes and open our ears. Massage our hearts. Make them ready. Fertile ground to receive what you're going to pour into us. That, Lord, our hearts would be fruitful. Deliver us from evil. For we know that you've got a greater will for our lives. Lord, we're so ready for a change. And now, Lord, I pray again, as I often do, that you would help me to go public with what we've already done privately. And somebody would hear and say, what must I do? Save somebody on Father's Day, Lord. Because they don't know what day is next. Save someone. Save us. And Lord, forgive us of our sins, we pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Put your blessed hands together. Let's give God some awesome praise. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, come on now, come on. Come on, bless him. Hallelujah. Grab your Bible. Brief blessing, but grab your Bibles. God bless you. Happy Father's Day to all of our brothers, all of our men. Happy Father's Day to you. And pray that you receive well today. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be alive. They can keep Father's Day. I'll just take a day. I'm just glad to be alive. But we are very happy to celebrate with all of our fathers, and certainly we appreciate you more than we sometimes let you know. Truth of the matter is, based on biblical principle and scientific fact, none of us would be in this room if it weren't for a father. It should have been some more amens. Yeah. I mean, I know Mother's Day and all, but it take fathers to make mothers. Y'all just hold on now. This wagon finna go fast. Amen. None of us be here if one for the seed of a man. Amen. Now, y'all making me do it the hard way. I thought I'd do it the easy way, and I'd get an easy shout, but thank God for fathers. Amen. That ain't about nine of y'all. Amen. I tell you what, the father is critical. Amen. You take away the seed, and you don't need a seed bearer. Amen. And don't let the devil fool y'all with these ungodly affections that's taken over in our community. You do know that when women stop loving men and just start loving women, we done. I ain't getting no help now, am I? Don't let it get twisted, saints. And I'm not going to let the brothers off the hook either, because when men just be lovers of men, we're done. Thank God for the way he put it out there. Amen. Every sister in here ought to just shout right now, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Amen. If you near any two brothers, high five both of them and say, y'all keep it in the road, fellas. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm just trying to tell y'all now, Father's Day is a big deal. Amen. It takes a real man to handle his business in these times. Yes, sir. You can't come up short now, fellas. Look at one, at least one sister say, I'm going to need a little help. Amen. I'm still in church. Where y'all at? Some of y'all done left and gone somewhere. But you know, I really wanted to make sure I put some emphasis on God's business, because we need each other. And I know Father's Day ain't no big deal for real in the economic world. You know, they talk about what Mother's Day brings in sales of flowers and candy, and economically, Father's Day don't move the needle like that. But you ought to thank God for your father. Amen. And I know that some of us are going now on memory because we don't have our fathers with us. But, you know, whatever you are, your daddy had something to do with it. Amen. Good, bad, indifferent, righteous, renegade. You know, that juvenile made that song that she get it from her mama. Tony Braxton should have made one to say he get it from his daddy. Because whatever we are, our father had some influence over that. And I got a note in the sermon. I won't get to it, but I'm going to give you upcoming attractions. When you take the man out the picture's distorted. Yes, sir. When you take the man out the picture's distorted. And ain't no way to fix that. You can't have no two daddies. You get it. Some of y'all already know what I'm saying. You got to have a father and a mother. Amen. So God said, Happy Father's Day to y'all. And I said, Amen. Genesis chapter 2, if you will. Thank you. It's 2 minutes after 12. Ushers, God bless you. Thank you. Choir, thank you. To all of the fathers, again, we thank God for you. And this is a little something for all of us. Amen. Genesis, first book in the Bible. Whoever that is turning all them pages, I don't know what end of the Bible you started on. It can be about 3. Amen. I have a New Living Translation of the Bible, and I want to lift up verse 15 of the second chapter of Genesis. Verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. You may be seated. Ushers, thank you. Y'all rest off your feet. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden, place of paradise, and he told him to tend it, watch over it, take care of it. run it. Keep it right. Those of us who have lived long enough to have learned some biblical principle do understand that the garden represents the fullness of humanity. What I am saying is that everything that we have come to know stems from the garden. We are first introduced to a fellow by the name of Adam in the garden. We are introduced to every living thing and everything that crawls or flies or swims because of the garden. Eventually, we would meet a young lady fresh in the world and unknown to any but him who is her Adam. Her name is Eve, and we meet her in the garden. A few days go by, and one of the greatest tragedies of all humanity occurs in that same garden. It is not my intention to sadden or stricken us again with the events that took place between Eve and the serpent, but it happened in the garden. God said to Adam, this is your assignment. And the gravity of it is that you must watch over it, take care of it. And everything that happens in this garden is on you. On Father's Day in 2013, I thought I would make it simple how significant your station is as God's man. And because within every man is the potential to be a father, I thought I would talk first just to the man. Because what I know, Jesse, is if we talk to the man before he becomes a father, the father will be a better man. I said something there. So my Father's Day is not just about them's of us who got young'uns, but I'm talking to my brothers. And brothers, y'all need to hear me. And sisters, you need to hear me as well. Because when I talk to your man, I'm talking to your man. And every now and then throughout the course of this few minutes, I expect to see some ribs being poked and some eyes being, because the reality is what God is saying is that it's time for us to be the watchman upon the wall. That's what I want to talk about. Talk about the watchman upon the wall. Somebody got this thing twisted, and I wish I could find out who it was so we can hit them upside the head. Because you impregnate a young lady doesn't necessarily make you a good father. Matter of fact, Pastor, we've come to see now that we've got a new dictionary word called baby. Yeah. And many young ladies introduce young men. by saying, that's just my baby daddy. The Lord didn't intend that to be so. The proper introduction should have been, that's my husband, the father of my children. No need of you getting mad at me. I wasn't there. But God said, I want watchmen on the wall. And in order for us to really celebrate our men, we need to understand the criteria of our God. Sisters, since it's here Father's Day, let me help you out a little bit. If he don't love God, he ain't gonna never love you. You can say all you want to say about I'm gonna fix him or he different. If he who's sleeping with you don't love God, he's sleeping with you in vain. You ain't gonna be the only sister ever fix him. Many have tried. But a man who ain't on the wall for God ain't got no business in your bed. I told you it's going to get interesting around here. He don't go to church. He don't tithe. He don't love God. He can't go to worship and Bible study. Let him keep walking. Look how quiet. You thought this was going to be a pep rally? God said, Adam, get on the stick. Put you on the wall. Take care of the garden. Sisters, you in the garden. Wives, daughters, you in the garden. You need somebody who know God to watch over you. Good men are hard to find. God men should be everywhere. Did y'all get that? Good men, by whose standard? You know, you can be jacked up in New Jersey and you can be a king in Miami. All depends on whose opinion you looking for. Amen. God says, Adam, you are my man. Trusting you with something really special, handle it. And God walks away. Says, Adam, name everything. Give it a title. I trust you. When you look around the church, the ratio of women versus men is just lopsided. And Sister Ava, I tried to set it up by my early comments of saying that none of us would be here were it not for a man. Maybe I should ask the question that they ask around the stone throwing celebration. Where is the man? I realize some of us are widows and some of us have had issues with men, and we figured, you know what? He got to go. Some of us sang Ray Charles' song with all enthusiasm we could muster. Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more, no more. Your clothes at your mama house. I got you. I understand. You did what you had to do. But my emphasis is on the scripture. that says a man will leave his mother and father and two become one. That's God. My argument that's coming back from you is, you want to make an addendum and say, well, Reverend, you don't understand. No, I don't. I know what God said. I think that's what us ought to do. Can I get a witness? I believe, I'm going on, Dr. Corbett. I can't get a lot of help here. I'm sweating up here. Y'all is starting to sweat out there. I strongly believe, this is something I believe, and I get right on 12:15. I strongly believe, and I might get some argument from you, but I just strongly believe that when you take fathers out of the picture, men, that we're setting ourselves up for a mess. I just, then that's me. And you may not want to agree. Okay, I got one. Thanks, Sister Ava. You all right. I got $5 for you later. I just think let's try it this way. I think that when you take godly men out of leadership, we lost. I just, now again, pay attention. And I see what's happening. Let me fix this, Melvin. Sisters, mothers, others, I'm not slighting you. I'm not saying that you can't lead. I'm not saying you're not strong enough. I'm saying that according to the word of God, the watchman is the man. And when you take the watchman off his post, we're in vulnerable state now. The enemy is waiting for a sleeping, lazy watchman so he can get in. And the Bible said that the enemy is seeking whom he may devour because there is no watchman. That's just me. Who am I? Try to get all y'all to believe me. I'm the pastor. And you need to hear your pastor. God says, you take care of all of it. Without it, families fall apart. Our sons don't know how to be men. They don't know how. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced that everything that we're seeing, a majority, I won't say everything, but I would say that a great percentage of what we're seeing in the decay of our society is a man's fault. See? All right. See? Because I don't wear my pants down here. I don't cuss out my wife. I'm trying to show every man what a man look like. And you can't be trying to be cool and hip. I don't break dance. I don't hang out like that. I'm trying to be straight, upright, and firm. Fair, but firm. And my daddy was like, my daddy didn't hang out with me. My daddy showed me how to love my wife and showed me how to respect women. I learned that from my father. How are our sons, y'all ain't got to say nothing, I'm just going to preach for me. How are our sons going to learn any of that when all our men are in prison? Are strung out. Absenteeism. Men make men. Our sons starting to act more like women. Then they are men. I've never seen in all, Dr. Corbett, you're a physician, you may know more than I do, but I ain't never in my 52 years seen in the last 10 years so many effeminate young men. I'm lost. All I can
Bible says, is that your sister or your brother? The media don't tell us how to raise our children. The master tells us how to raise our children. Ain't no such thing as I'm going to let him decide what he want to be. If he got a penis, he a boy. He ain't pretty in pink. If he want to play with dolls, I'll let him work that out. No! If he pick up a snake, you going to let him work that out? Stay out of your sister's room. Boys don't have tea parties. We have kegs. Teach him how to tap a keg. I'm fixing it. Son, this is German beer. Oh, that's good. This is domestic. Oh, okay, Daddy, thank you. Don't tell your mama. That's how I grew up. Jesus calls men. Now, sisters, again, we got women preachers here. I have nothing against y'all. But I'm convinced that there was something significant to his choosing. I'm not knocking, because that in the scripture, pay attention later, you can see where women came into that. That's not my issue. It's Father's Day. I'm saying that when you take men and minimize the standard of being a man, fatherhood in trouble. We gonna have to cancel Father's Day if we keep going like we're going. There ain't gonna be no more fathers. If men having sex with men and women having sex with women, there ain't gonna be no more Father's Days. Y'all might have quiet. Y'all thought I was gonna just give cake and ice cream. I'm not no cake and ice cream. I'm serious about this here. We got to get back on the wall. Here, well, you know, he just like that. Slap him. When people having a bad emotional, you know, we slap them. Hey, if somebody having a bad dream, you shake them. Wake up. Somebody driving the car and go to sleep, you don't sit and go, oh, he looks so peaceful. Man, we about to tear this thing up. Hey. We're falling apart. We're falling apart because the watchmen are not on the wall. It's a nightmare. And brothers, I've looked around. I've been trying to count in my head without looking like I'm counting. We ain't got 25 men in here. On Father's Day. And again, since it's so, and past the anniversary, way off November, I'm going to say, it's so many wives sitting up in here with no husband. He couldn't come with you on Father's Day? I mean, come on. It's Father. Come on, you can't. You ain't got to put on something. It's Father's Day, baby. Come on, go to church with me. At least on Father's Day, you miss Mother's Day. I don't want to be the only wife sitting up there without somebody putting my arm around. And I know pastor's going to bust you upside the head. You need to come on. Man, look here. I'm about to. Look here. God says. You know, that used to mean something. God says. Let's make a man. You know what I think we ought to be saying now to our wives as a sexy interlude? Baby, Let's make a man. We're running out of them. So we need to help. The Bible said be fruitful and multiply. We need to make some more men. And y'all say, well, honey, it takes one to make one. I mean, I'm saying, ladies, if I were you, I'd say it. I said, well, you know, it takes one to make one. And he'll say, well, you got the right one, baby. It's the language of heaven. God said, let's make some men. Let's take what we are. Now, here we go. I'm there now. Let's take what we are and make him. Let me tell you something, fellas. You stand around here thinking you all that. But it's what you are that makes him. So when you look at your sons and see faults and shortcomings, you better look in the mirror. Because every child learns by watching and imitating. I learned how to drive watching my daddy drive. I learned how to cut grass watching my daddy cut grass. I learned everything I learned until I left his house watching my dad. And he couldn't control me watching. So don't you think your son don't see you just because you don't see him. You know how, listen, I rarely did I ever tell my sons, come here, I'm going to show you something. They watched. And every now and then I would turn around and go, now look at him. He watched. One of them still don't know how to change oil. I can't figure out why. Saved my life. I showed him 50 times. It ain't but a drain plug and a filter. Amen. I didn't say which one. Don't y'all try to pick one. No, no. Come on, don't do my son. But it's one of them. So here we are. How are we gonna fix it? How are we gonna get watchmen back on the wall? Three things. First of all, look in his face. What? Look in his face. Not see if he looked like Denzel or Billy D. Look in his face. Well, Pastor, what am I looking for? You're looking for the character of God. You don't see no God in him. Ain't none coming out of him. Look him in his face. Because the Bible says he was created in the image and likeness of God. If he lacks character, fare thee well, homie. Look in his face. Don't look in his wallet. Don't worry about that. Because I'm telling you right now, it's probably 10 sisters in here that can tell you, money didn't make up for the madness. Oh, he had money, but he treated me like dirt. He had a good job, he had a car, he had a house, but he didn't love me. And when he hit me and tried to buy me stuff, that didn't take away the pain. The bruises didn't go away because he said, I'm sorry and I'm not going to do it anymore. But when he had the character of God, when he lay hands, it's loving hands. Look in his face. Don't look for cute. Because cute get old and wrinkled. Breath get bad and teeth fall out. Look for character. Does he look like God? Does he look like his father? Look at his face. You see, sisters, daughters, cousins and cousinettes, y'all falling for the okie doke. Kim Kardashian is a fool. Babies don't make men stay. Kanye West is a fool. What do you think? Yeah, just pay attention. They done already exposed him. What's she got now? Nothing but more trouble. She married one and didn't stay married. No, I'm not just picking on Kim, but she's an example. Because she didn't look in his face. You can't look for celebrity. You can't look for somebody that's cute, cool. You need character. Because when your children need a father and a man to sit down and talk to them and straighten them up and train them up and spare not the rod, you ain't going to get nothing because he cute. He too busy combing his hair and putting his gel in to look at your child. Character.
See, we don't shout amen on character.
The man look like God.
Girl, he fine. Let me show you his picture. Ooh, girl, I could eat him up. You'll be hungry shortly thereafter. You'll be hungry shortly thereafter. Listen to me. Hear me well.
Listen to your children how they talk about love and relationship. And you can say, hold on, hold, wait. You need to go talk to your daddy.
My daddy told me some things about character that I ain't never going to forget. No, sir. My wife and I got married. We were too young. Everybody told us that. Y'all too young. No, my dad said, if you're going to marry her, you better stay with her. And it wasn't what she could do to me. It's what he threatened to do to me. He said, don't let me find out that you hitting on her. Don't let me find out that you mistreating her. Don't let me find out them children hungry. He had a list. And you know, I couldn't say anything bad because everything on his list is what he did in his house. We ate, we slept, we were safe. He had character. He may not have been a great Christian. I've already told y'all that, but that's my daddy, not yours. He'll give an account for his own life. But he had character. He may not have gotten it all right, but who does? Look in his face for commitment. Almost there.
Because if he's not steady and secure in his relationship with God, he don't know about relationship. God is an eternal, everlasting God. If he ain't hooking up with something like that, what make you think he gonna be with you forever? The term deadbeat dad is not a biblical term. It is what we have been forced upon by the standards of the world. Deadbeat dad is a bad thing.
I looked up some stats, went online, got some information, and it is absolutely true that African-American men owe more in child support than they do in student loans. And Darren, you got some student loans. You know that's a lot of money, ain't it? That's my boy D.
I'm telling you, we owe more for not taking care of our children than we're willing to educate ourselves.
How are you going to be steady and secure and he don't know God? God is commitment. Wouldn't you rather hear him say, I'm going to Bible study than hang out at the bar? What sister here am going to have a problem with a man going to Bible study every Thursday rather than going to the frat meeting? Because you know what frat boys do. Some of us, that's why we married him, because he's a frat boy. He an Omega. You know what they say about them Omegas? Yeah, you should know too. You need a man with commitment. Why? Because the Bible shows us that in relationship with God, your whole life is God. Let me help you one more time, and we got one more after this one, but let me help you. Every man should have a relationship with God. Before you sign on to be a Kappa or Alpha or whatever them alphabet people do, you need to be with God. Here's another stat. Looked it up. More men are committed to organizations than are committed to the local church. You got more men in fraternities and masons and shriners and all them other things than there are men in a committed relationship with God. The stat said more men are identified by their fraternities or organizations than Christian. That's bad news, saints. Ain't no Kappa heaven. Ain't no Kiwanis heaven. Mighty quiet. A little too heavy. I'm talking about watchmen. Getting on that wall. Take commitment. Listen. Every man should be steady and secure. Every father should be that. And I didn't say husband, because let's just go and put this out there. Every father ain't a husband. And every husband ain't the father. Moving on. The judge said, feed them, they'll look like you. Hear me well. Jesus commands that we, men, be men. Nobody in this room should be insecure and in an unstable or steady relationship because God made men. Don't get impatient, daughters. Sisters, cousins, and cousinettes, keep waiting. There's a man that's committed to God for your picking. Amen. Look at the name, say one more, and we can make it. Somehow or another, Pastor Corbett, we forgot to look for men that had courage. The willingness to be different. Not do what your homeboy did. Not hang out because he hang out. Not leave because he left. I didn't get married on no buddy plan. Man, I'm leaving my wife. What you gonna do? See you walk away? Marriage ain't played out. We just done played it wrong. Nothing wrong with marriage. It's still a good, noble thing. The Bible says it's a good thing when you take a wife. Courage. What kind of courage? The courage to hold fast to what you believe from God. Y'all quiet and I understand. Because you thought that I'll just give you a little ice cream. But we ain't going to fix this till we start fixing it. I thought Father's Day was a good day to do it. Courage. I see, Deacon Walker, too many weak men. You doing what your boys say. Your boys are just that, boys. Old as we are now, we need to stop hanging around boys. Bible says, don't ever reject good counsel. I mean, I'm thankful that my father was kind of guy he was, because he would say some stuff that Miss Davis's hair would fry out. And he meant it. And again, I know it took courage to have to tell me and my brothers some things. And then, let me tell you, last little point, I put it in here, it's my family's business. My brother and I were raised by my father. My youngest brother was not. He's a bum. Isn't he, honey? He's sorry. It's my last one. Because my father lost his courage. Why? Because he didn't marry that boy's mama. He wasn't committed to her. He didn't have good character because he was cheating on my mama. So his character was suspect. And that boy suffers today. Because he had no man of character, commitment, or courage. My father let him down. Because he let himself down. And I used to tell him, Daddy, you need to do something with that boy. Daddy, man, well, you know, I surely don't want me to. Not you, Shirley. His mama, Shirley. I know it wasn't me. Thank God for Jesus. I said, Daddy, that boy, I met him when he was in the seventh grade. I said, Daddy, he looked like us, but he ain't got no us in him. He's weak. He don't have no strength. You can't lose your courage, men. You got to train up the next generation of men. And you got to say some things and do some things that ain't going to make you popular. But our women and our mothers and our families are in jeopardy. Because you won't get on that wall. It takes fortitude, faith, and a foundation. Those are my three subs. You got to go for it, brothers. Getting ready to leave you, get ready for offering. You got to get yourself strong. But you need another man. If there's anything you gonna do going forward, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, because I'm looking at most of these brothers in here and y'all pretty square. But if you gonna help another brother, you got to be a brother. You gotta be a man for God. You gotta have character, you gotta be committed, and you gotta have courage. You can't be sitting around here saying, man, you cool, don't worry about it. Worry about it. Get on that wall. Don't want to come to church. Don't want to go to Bible study. But you can invite me to go to the club. No, you can't. Gotta get together, man. We got fortitude. It takes a real man. God made us that way. You're not a man for a lot of reasons the world try to call you a man. Your wallet don't make you a big man. But you drive and all that kind of stuff, all that material stuff, you need to get that out of your head. Get God in your head and your heart. Amen. It takes faith. What you believe shapes your life. And brothers, fathers, men, I know you say, well, Reverend, you know, you've been a little hard on us today, but it's hard out here for, no, that's different. That's you got to understand that your faith establishes your footpath. In other words, what I'm saying is, you got to walk in this. You cannot lead folk to place you don't know how to get to. You cannot follow God when you ain't holding on to him. Take faith. It takes a foundation. The reason why, when you read Old Testament of the Bible, you read about kings, there's one statement, Dr. Corbin, and I know you and these preachers know it, but there's one statement that always rings profound. That statement simply says, and he did as his father before him. The dynamic is that sometimes the statement says he did good, and other times it says he did evil.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you now that we still got enough light of day. That was a good note there. We still got enough light of day. Well, thank you now. You understand that what I'm trying to tell you is that we need to manufacture and we need to build a ministry around men. Somehow or another, we got to learn how to stand up again. I believe we've been crawling for far too long. Too many of our men have fallen by the wayside. But I just believe we got enough time left where we would grab them by the hand and say, rise, my brother. Get on your feet again. It's still time to give God the glory. And I believe that if every man would grab another man. Matter of fact, y'all too spread out for me to do it, but I just wish that men were close enough where you can grab another brother and say, look here, you ain't heavy, you my brother. And whatever it takes to help you, I'm more than willing to go the extra mile. If you need to learn how to love, I can show you love. If you need to learn how to do your finance, I can show you finance. If you need to learn how to pray, I'll pray with you. If you need to learn how to lift up his name, I'll lift it with you. But whatever it takes, I'm going to help my brother. I believe the word declares that there should be a band of brothers. Because the word said that we are to care one for the other. Somewhere in this room, there's a brother that might be in trouble right now. But there's another brother that don't mind hooking up with you. Can I get somebody to just wave back and say, hook him up, brother? Because the Bible said that we've got to learn how to help each other along the way. Too many brothers have decided to take the easy way out. Too many brothers have decided it ain't worth fighting for. But the devil is a liar. Because the God we serve says you can do all things through Christ that still strengthens you. Is there anybody that knows you can do all things? Find at least one brother and say, hey, brother, I've got some good news. It doesn't matter what you're up against. Doesn't matter how many times you fall. The God you serve says you can do all things through Christ that'll strengthen you. I've got some good news. He'll still pick you up. He'll still turn you around. He still makes ways out of no ways. I wish I had one brother that can say to me he's all right. I tried it for myself and I found out that God will. He's a strong deliverer. He's been my help down through the years. I can call him up in the midnight hour and God will. That's my argument. No matter what you say, I can tell you that God will. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Ain't God all right? We need more men calling all men to rise and fight the good fight. We're calling all men to stay right there at the foot of the cross until Jesus comes. And when the Lord returns, I want to go with him. But I got to live right now. I got to fight hard now. I got to stand strong now. Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Ain't God all right? He died for us. And when he died, they put him in a tomb. But like the real man he was, early. I said one lady needs child support, one lady needs alimony, one lady paying his bills, one lady to church on Sunday, but early, early, one Sunday morning, he got up with all power, didn't he rise? Look at the name of that neighbor. You might fall down, but you can rise. Look at another name and say, neighbor, you might be struggling, but you can rise. Look at another name and say, neighbor, I know it's hard, but you can rise. Say rise. Say rise. Say rise. Got to get on the wall. Because you are our future. I was counting again. I think I got it right. Known to me, fathers, I counted. And we in short supply. But look at all these sisters. Nobody should be alone. Except by choosing. But where the men? Where's the next preacher? Where's the next deacon? Where's the next musician? Where's the next husband? Poor Jasmine Raven. Kim, I'm sorry. Ashley, April. They had to leave Lynchburg. They looked and couldn't find. They said, we got to get out of here. Any luck in Richmond, ladies? Yeah. Next stop, Tallahassee. Laura, you're going to take them back down to the Bama. Jasmine, how you coming? No luck? Not even a prospect. My nephew here, but he's a little young, but I'll do what I can for you. No. Listen to me. We need men on the wall. It's Father's Day. It's your day. But I just thought I'd go ahead and help you. I don't know why we're so afraid to be men. I talk to people. I talk to men, potential men, Deacon Walker. Our brothers are just dropping the ball. I got married when I was right at 18 years old. I couldn't wait to get married. I hear fellas now, man, I ain't never getting married. All right, so what's going to happen if all the brothers say they ain't going to never get married? And I'm talking brothers irrespective of ethnicity. Men. If nobody wants to get married, what's going to happen? You poor daughters. I'm telling you something right now. It is the will of God that a man find him a wife. See, the world done told us to make prenups. Here's the prenup right here. Just read it. We're tricking it up now, y'all. And what God is saying to us is get the men up on that wall. Fathers, you got daughters, screen them. Say, bring him on in. Let me sit down and talk to him. And if he's scared to look you in your face, keep your hands off my daughter. You can't look me in my face. Don't touch her. I consider that assault. And mothers, talk to your daughters. Just remind them, you see how me and your daddy roll, that's young folk word for day-to-day operation. Now, if your husband and your wife and your family got issues, fix those things. It's not too late. Some of us need to go home today with a Bob the Builder attitude. How many of y'all know Bob the Builder? What does Bob say? Can we fix it? Go home and look at your husband and say, Bob the Builder. He says, well, can we fix this? Yes, we can. Bob ain't never met a project he didn't like. So I'm just telling you, get back on that wall. Our doors are open for Christian discipleship. To make a decision about God. I would that every man in this room today have a conversation within yourself. If you lack character, commitment, and courage, you don't have great fortitude, great faith, and a foundation, you need to meet with the Father. You need to have a little talk with Jesus. It's not too late. You're still alive. Still alive. You can always improve, even on a good thing. Every now and then, Coke and Pepsi, they try something else. They just, because they figure, you know, let's put some more sugar in it. Let's put this kind of sugar in. And we buy it up. They put them new commercials out there with a new can, and we say, oh, let's try that. But we always get to the place we think we just there. Look at your name and say, you can improve as good as you are. So the doors are open at Christian discipleship. Let's all stand together to make it easier for somebody today. We got a few minutes of your time. If you would just make a decision today, and let me tell you something. The standard is simply this. When you make a decision, we're going to hold you to it. So don't come down just trying to be cute on today, but make a decision, and we're going to hold you to it. It is our responsibility as your church to help you in your salvation. And we want to do that for you. So if you'll come right now, we're going to move quickly. I know you got somewhere to be, but I want to help you to understand something. We are in trouble. I ain't got nothing against Jason Collins. I ain't got nothing against Frank Ocean. I ain't got nothing against people doing what they want to do. That's going to be between them and God. But I do have a problem when the media promotes these alternative lifestyles and then try to make us feel bad because we're standing on the principles of God. I still believe that whosoever will, let them come. I still believe when you catch fish, you clean them. I ain't against, no. I love everybody because that's what God said. But come to me crooked and I'm going to find a way to try to get you straight. Come to me with a contrary, foolish opinion, and I'm going to tell you that's just stupid. So if you don't want honesty, you probably don't want Jesus. But you need Jesus so you can get honesty. Don't let the world fool us no more. And in your house, and in my house, and in every house, we got something to deal with. This ain't judgment. This is inspiration. I'm not a basher about nothing. Everybody's house got something to deal with. Look at a neighbor and say, I know that's right. The standard is still God. But it ain't the time to run away from him. It's time to run to him. Amen. That woman with the issue of blood ran to him. Jairus ran to him. Bartimaeus called. You don't run from him when you're in trouble. You run to him. Because nobody but Jesus can fix it. So if you come today, come sincere. Second thing I want to say to you is that because you're still alive, you got a chance. So we'll pray in the closing moments, prayers of restoration and reconciliation. But I want you to have your heart set for that. Get it ready. Because if you're knowing in your spirit right now where you are, man or woman, because I thought some sister stuff in there too, didn't I? Amen. You need some, you know, I need to fix that little one area. Listen, one flat tire stops the whole car. So don't think because you got one thing wrong, you can deal with the rest of it. No, one thing, one bad spark plug on an 8-cylinder motor is a bad thing. One window that won't go up or down is a bad thing. So if you're sitting here this afternoon or standing now, those of you who are standing, you know, that ain't me. I ain't got that problem. You got a problem. And you need a God who will fix it. And lastly, I want to tell you that if you're looking for a local church and you didn't get your feelings hurt today, this is your place.
Stay right here with us. Take some more of this next week. So, you know, I'm just going to let him. Maybe next week he'll like. No, I'm just trying to tell you, we're serious about what we're doing. If you're looking for a church like a dry cleaner, we're not your place. We're not in by 11 and out by 12. That's just not happening for us. And we kind of like it. Amen. Not everybody. That's something. You remember the Be Back folk, right? When my Be Back people? I'll be back next Sunday. Ain't as many as it was last time. I'll be back. Amen. Be back. I'm in the Be Back Club. Deacon Walker, we need a sign. Be Back Club. Amen. So here's my condition that I present to you. He'll take you just as you are. So if there are none, trustees, deacons, get ready. We're going to get ready to give. We give on the way out and pray because we believe that you've been inspired and say, shoot, man, I was going to give a little bit. After that, I'm giving a lot. Amen. Now, you can't take back part of what you'd already decided to give. You got to add. You can't subtract. Amen. I ain't getting a lot of amen, Dr. Dixon. I got one. Okay, we'll take care of it. Amen. Let's pray together as we get ready to present tithe and offering unto God. Father in heaven, we thank you for, again, the opportunity to present our tithe offering and sow our seed. We thank you, God, because we know that every good and perfect gift has come down from our Father.